We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
One of those things, a couple of guys.
Andy Randy.
Having discussion.
I be on it all night, man. I be on it all day. Straight up pimp. If you want me, you can find me in the.
What are you looking at me like that for?
What you talking about? We're supposed to make eye contact.
It's the Midday Show with
Andy Barker and my son, my baby boy, Randy McMichael.
When I crack open this mic,
that was the most media member thing that's ever been said.
Randy Montez McMichael as Randy, and my firstborn son, Andrew Stephen Bunker as Andy.
The pumps make the yams more yammier.
The whats make the whats more whattier?
Boring answer.
Just make sure you don't touch that dial, then we'll be cool. Touch it and use the fool.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Good morning. Welcome in Sports Radio 92.9, The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Thursday. Thank you for being with us. Morning, Randy. How are you?
What's happening, my man? Beautiful, beautiful Thursday. No traffic was beautiful this morning.
The sun's out.
It's a little nip out there. It's a little nip. It was a rough night last night. Little man had his first soccer practice. Bro, it ain't a good sign with all the parents looking at each other like, how much longer than that? You know what I'm saying? Because, boo, it was freezing out there, though. But we're in the house. We got a job. So
everything's fine.
Yeah, I can't complain.
Yeah, everything's good. The good thing about the cold weather, from my perspective, is
flannel.
You still get to wear fleece-lined flannels.
Yeah, fleece-lined.
I got on today.
I just realized what you said, the fleece-lined flannel.
Fleece-lined flannel.
Right.
So I got this for Christmas, but it was a size too big.
Uh-huh.
So I had to return it, and I'm kind of lazy, so it took a while.
Mm-hmm.
And I finally got the return process. A guy had showed up at the house the other day, and it's so cold I can still
wear it.
That's new? Yeah, it's new.
Oh, okay.
Doesn't look new?
Yeah, it does.
What's wrong with it?
Nothing. I'm just looking at it. It's nice.
Brian Gebhardt complimented me on it immediately. Wendy likes it. What's
no,
your problem?
No, I like
with it.
No, bro. I like it. I'm not saying that. Nothing's wrong with your shirt.
You're looking at it funny.
Because I'm trying to look at where it's new at.
Well, it's new all over. I washed it before I
wore it. Ah, see, that's the problem. There it is right there. It looks like it's been worn.
Well, that's, you know, that's the look for people like me.
People like you. What's people like you?
I don't know.
Okay.
People that wear flannel shirts.
Is there something that you want to tell me? No, I like the shirt. It's cool. But when you said new,
yeah.
I'm like, look. That's why I looked at it. I was like, oh.
I washed it first. I let it go through a cycle.
You wash your clothes first?
Usually.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Usually.
Or even if you get it from, like, a store?
Yeah.
Oh, I ain't never done it before.
Yeah, because, I don't know. Like, it'll shrink a little bit.
Oh.
Cotton stuff shrinks a little
bit.
Right, you know?
Right, right, right.
Because you brought me a shirt today, which is very nice of you.
I did.
And I appreciate that you did that. We've got an Atlanta United supporter group coming in at 11:20, the Faction supporter group. They're going to come in studio, hang out with us, and we wanted to wear Atlanta United gear to be in the spirit of the beginning of the season on Saturday and celebrate the CONCACAF win the other night. And that's not a problem for you. You got your Atlanta United hat on. You're always decked out in your Atlanta United stuff. My Atlanta United stuff is, I've got like a polo shirt, but I don't want to wear a polo shirt today.
Mm-hmm.
So you brought me a t-shirt.
Yeah.
And I put it on. It was a little big.
See, because it's a little snug on me. So that's why I like.
You thought it might fit me.
So Andy can put this on and it'll look regular on him. It's a little snug on me.
Mm-hmm.
I said Andy can look regular in it.
Look like a nightgown.
Look really bad on you.
Yeah, it looked like a nightgown.
Yeah, it looked good. It looked pretty bad on you.
But this is the thing with, like, normally if I bought a shirt like that, I would wash it first, mm-hmm. and then it would shrink up a little
but
bit.
I've but I've washed that shirt before.
I know, because it's a double XL.
Right.
I don't wear double XL. I'm more like a medium, large kind of guy.
Now I know.
Yeah.
Now I know. So when I'm in the store next time, I see, oh, you know what, babe? Andy would like this shirt. Medium?
Large.
Okay.
Either way. It depends. It depends on the shirt. That's why I got to be there to try it on. And then I like to get it a little big and then wash it. It shrinks up a little bit and it fits perfect.
Like, I'll wear something like that.
Yeah, you'd wear this.
Yeah, I'll wear that.
It's nice.
Yeah, it's cool.
Anyway, it's fleece lined because it's cold outside. Let's get to some stuff that matters to sports fans. We'll get to what's trending coming up in about 15 minutes, as we always do. And there's a lot going on. The Combine continuing to take place in Indy. More news coming out from the Falcons camp. Guys they've interviewed. Sounds like they've got their eye on some running backs, which is interesting. Jason Butt from The Athletic is going to join us tomorrow from Indy, but he put a story out there last night sort of rehashing the trade deadline possibility of trading Devontae Freeman that the Falcons, I guess, had but decided not to take. Why would he do that yesterday? I don't know. Well, maybe because the Falcons are looking at running backs at the combine, and maybe that's a little bit of a foreshadowing that they're going to make a decision on Devontae Freeman over the next couple weeks.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that this decision is going to be production over price, because you're not gaining a whole bunch of money. Can you sign other people with the money that you'll save from? Yeah, you can.
Sure.
But it's not a whole lot of money. This is a production type thing, and we know how this organization, especially the head coach, how they feel about Devontae Freeman. I still think Devontae can play in this league. I think he can help a football team, but we always talk about it, and it's more prevalent in today's age and everything. Does your production match your price tag? And that's the thing with Devontae, it doesn't. And so I think that is one of those decisions where, you know, it's going to be a hard gut-wrenching decision. I think the decision's already been made.
I think so, too.
You know what I'm saying? I think it's just a process of them going through whatever they're doing, their due diligence, whatever it is. But I think this decision that they've made on number 24, who's been a hell of a Falcon and can still play at this, I mean, can still play at a high level. It's just the price tag and what you're asking him to do is just not there.
The guys that they've been talking to, some of the names that we've seen over the last couple of days, Cam Akers, J.K. Dobbins, guys like that, names that you know, mm-hmm. right? These are college running backs that have been productive, like talented, big program college running backs. I know Florida State hasn't won a lot of games, but Cam Akers is damn good.
He's big time.
Like, these are guys you've heard of. It's been a while since we've gone through that with the Falcons in the draft process. Normally, the running backs are, you know, nothing against Quadre Allison, but I don't think Quadre Allison was a household name leading into the draft last year. Brian Hill went to Wyoming. Ito Smith, guys like that. Like, we're talking about guys that you'd have to spend a second or third round draft pick on in order to get them in here, which, again, if you're doing that, you're probably moving on from Devontae Freeman so you can afford it and also so you can get that guy on the field and have him be your starting running back. We're going to get more into this in the 12 o'clock hour.
It's funny because the thing with the combine and, you know, when they talk about, you know, well, I had a meeting with this team and everybody's talking, oh, they met with – dude, they meet with like
– I know they do.
28 teams, all right? It's not a big deal, really, because you meet with 28 teams. By the way, you're talking about running backs. Our girl Wendy, she has a great article up. So you can go to me and Andy's page at 929 The Game and read Wendy's article about the running backs meeting with the Falcons. Really, it's pretty good, man.
It is.
She did a thing.
And there's a lot of names on there that you can look at as well. But again, like, you're right. They talk to all kinds of different people, many of which they're not going to draft. But those names are names of guys that if they were to draft them would be early draft picks, which is interesting if you got to address a lot of issues in the draft. Anyway, we'll get to that a little bit later. They talked to Rodrigo Blankenship, too. Do you care that the Falcons don't draft Georgia guys? Because that's always an interesting thing every single spring.
Just me. That's
people
just
get
me.
Fired.
I don't.
I could. I mean, come on.
I don't care.
There's a lot of colleges.
But there's a lot of colleges. But, I mean, I do see what they're talking about because it does seem like they don't draft Atlanta players a lot. I mean – I'm trying to think. When I was in Miami, we drafted Vernon Carey, but he's a Miami kid, went to UM. But I mean, I don't look at it like that. But I see what they're saying because if you look at it, they don't draft Georgia players. They had an opportunity to draft Todd Gurley and all that, and you know, whatever went down with that. But yeah, I mean, it's frustrating because when you want to see some of your hometown kids play at home.
If they're a fit.
Yeah. I think that's the biggest thing. People think just because he went to Georgia, he can fit in any system.
Great. If and they're a fit, sure.
Everything is – the thing about
– if it's a fit and a need, I'll take
everything,
it.
Everything – the thing about, you know, NFL and all these – there are some players you can put them in any scheme and they'll be successful.
It's true.
But for the most part, guys are scheme-specific players. They are. It just is what it is. That's why you draft the way you draft. But there are some players you put them anywhere – and he's going to get it done because he's just that kind of player.
It also just has a lot to do with you pay a lot of attention to a specific team. You know the guys better. So when that guy gets passed on, you say, oh, that guy could have done what that team needed. Well, the guy they drafted might be able to also.
Yeah.
Or might be able to do more specifically what they needed, but you don't know him as well because they don't play on the team you follow. Anyway, the Hawks played basketball last night as well. And I know Trae Young was sick before the game, played well, scored 37 points. Scoring hasn't been a problem for the Hawks, and
stopping
it wasn't
people from
last night. Stopping people from scoring has been and continues to be a huge problem for this basketball team. And it was interesting watching the game on TV last night because Travis Schlenk was on the broadcast. Mm-hmm. He was sitting at the booth with Bob Rathbun and Dominique Wilkins. And, you know, Travis Schlenk's a pretty polite guy, a pretty soft-spoken guy.
Is.
He comes on the radio station every single week.
Good dude.
He couldn't help himself watching them play defense to just, like, you know, in his polite Travis Schlenk way, just a comment. He's like, we look like Swiss cheese out there. Can we get a stop, just one stop? Let's see if we can get a stop here. They scored five baskets, and they're like clearly frustrated. Again, in a very polite Travis Schlenk way, it's got to be killing him, as it's killing Hawks fans to watch these guys struggle to play defense every single game.
It's killing everybody. It's killing the coach, it's killing Lloyd Pierce, it's killing them all. I mean, defense is effort, man. Sometimes you're too little maybe to play defense, and as Trey is, he's a slight guy, or Isaiah Thomas, those guys, you just look. But when I see Kevin Huerter and guys like that, having guys just blow by him, like, dude, just go play zone. Just go play zone, Coach Pierce. Just go to a matchup 2-3 zone. Because they're letting guys just go right past them, man. And the thing with John Collins is he's gotten better, but John ain't the biggest dude in the world. So them damn centers, you saw Joel Embiid toss him out the club like 3 or 4 times. Yeah. He's just not the biggest dude. It's not his fault. But, I mean, until this team gets stops, and I know – defense is an afterthought in the NBA, but you got to play a little bit.
Yeah, but
you got to play a little bit.
I understand that, but defense can be an afterthought if you're average at it. You know, like we say that a lot.
Maybe they are average.
No, they're not.
Maybe.
Who?
The Hawks.
They are significantly below average.
Well, you know what I'm saying?
They are. But I'm just saying,
maybe the best they can be is average.
Okay, maybe. But be average then. Because what we're talking about right now is a team that is so terrible. Defensively, the Orlando Magic are the second worst offense in the NBA. And last night was the second time this season where they've scored 130 or more on the Hawks.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's not average. Like, and I mean, if average is what you're striving for, all right, you're not even reaching that very low bar that you're striving for. And the bigger thing on that topic is, and I don't know if it's fair or unfair, we get at it and we'll spend some time on it today. I mean, Lloyd Pierce is supposed to be a defensive-minded guy.
Don't call him that.
But he is. Or at least just be a coach that coaches defense.
Well, I mean, how do we know when he's not coaching it?
Because they're not getting better.
Well, maybe they're just not good defenders.
Or maybe they're just not good defenders.
That's what I'm saying. Maybe they just can't defend.
I don't know. But, I mean, clearly there is someone at fault here. I don't know if it's coaching. I don't know if it's individuals, whatever it is. But it's infuriating.
Yeah, it's bad. It's a bad
look. Evan Fournier.
Evan can play.
No, he can't. We'll come back and get to what's trending, including what Thomas Dimitroff is talking about here.
There are a number of players within our team that we have to look at closely. We'll see on the other side.
Did Brian just say something about Evan Fournier in fantasy basketball?
Did.
I quit. See you guys tomorrow. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Ladies and gentlemen, time now for What's Trending.
A look at the top trending headlines of the day.
Oh my God.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Freeze obviously an important part of our organization as well, and he continues to do a really good job for us. Determining, you know, how we're going to approach some of our cap situation and how we're going to be creative. There are a number of players within our team that we have to look at closely. We'll see on the other side. Some of this is determined as well by what happens with the CBA.
So that's the voice of Thomas Dimitroff. Again, that's from the Ian Rappaport podcast from earlier in the week. Thomas Dimitroff, Dan Quinn, up at the Combine, meeting with the media. Dimitroff spending a little bit of extra time with Ian Rappaport, as he does usually every offseason. Dimitroff will usually go on his podcast. Andrew Brandt's podcast is generally one that he'll do. At some point, one of them will sit down with Peter King. There's a pretty normal offseason media cycle that these guys tend to do around this time of year.
Isn't that big?
Yeah,
different.
No, it's nothing real different, except for the stuff that they're talking about. And, you know, it's very specific to what this offseason is going to look like. We already found out earlier this week that a couple guys that we had talked a lot about since the end of the season may very well not be back in Austin Hooper and Devondre Campbell. We knew that they were going to have to make tough decisions on those guys. Here's something positive that if you're looking for, you know, because there's a lot of different ways to feel about all the things we've learned from the Falcons this week. For me, at the end of the season, one of the big things I wanted to see from Dimitroff and Quinn was the ability to make the tough decision. The ability to not just say, all right, we drafted him, we want to keep him, that's what we do, that's the right way to go about building teams and all of that. Like, they've done that, and it hasn't worked. So if you're going to go a different direction, you're going to try something different, maybe that means making some tough decisions on guys that you like, because I think they'd like to keep Devondre Campbell and Austin Hooper.
Right.
So it's a tough choice to not, and they did that. Yeah. So, okay, is it going to work? I don't know, but at least it's different.
You don't want to ever, in organizations, the one thing they don't want to ever admit is a mistake, especially in the first round. That's why you see the Bears keep coming out and having to defend Mitchell Trubisky. That's why you see different things like that. That's why Vic Beasley got a freaking fifth-year option. Those are the reasons why.
That's why Keanu Neal gets a fifth-year option.
You know
he's been hurt for 2 years.
That's why.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? That's why this whole tack thing, they have a communication problem right now between DQ and Thomas, but Would you be surprised they picked up tax option because they drafted him?
No.
They developed him?
I would be surprised if they didn't.
You know what I'm saying?
Based on the track record of Dan Quinn and Thomas Dimitro.
That would surprise you. So, yeah. I mean, this ain't nothing new. I mean, they love Free. You know, Free was one of the – well, I mean, even though he wasn't drafted by Dan, he bought in. You know what I'm saying? He did all these things. I mean, they drafted Tevin Coleman to be the starter. Tevin gets hurt. Devontae gets the opportunity and runs with it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, it's going to be hard to move on from. I think they already have the decision to move on from him. But my thing is, they're moving on from him. I don't think they're moving on from the money. It definitely has to be a production type thing, even though getting that 3.5 does help.
It helps.
It helps, but it ain't like it's going to create a whole bunch of space where you can put money in for Robert Quinn or somebody.
Right. It's not like if they were to move on from Alex Mack, which I don't think that they're going to do.
No, they're not moving on.
They'd save $8 million. Yeah. Like, that's a decision that you make for the money. If they were to move on from Keanu Neal, if they wouldn't have signed him, if they wouldn't have done the fifth-year option with him, that would have been $6.5 million, which obviously they're not going to do. $3 million is great, like, when partnered with other money that you might get from other moves that you might make. But you're right. It would be about production, which is a bummer because Devontae Freeman, when healthy, is a really productive player.
Right.
It's just it's hard to – and we talked a lot about this last year going into the year. It was hard to buy into the idea that a guy coming off the surgery he was coming off of, a year older, all the miles that were on his tires, and the fact that you don't have a good offensive line. Like, let's not like just whistle past that reality. Like, the offensive line of the Falcons is not good. If you had a better offensive line, you could have an average running back.
Yeah, but you can't do that because you can't block anybody.
You have to have a really good running back who can break tackles behind the line of scrimmage because these guys can't block anybody.
Yeah, I mean, that was one of the things he did. He made you miss in a phone booth, and you just don't see the explosiveness. You saw some flashes of it a little bit last year, you know, especially the New Orleans game, how they got off and they were able to run the ball and stay committed to the run. I think that's one of the biggest things that they don't do a good job, but did it kind of late in the year, is stay committed to the run. You know what I'm saying? Because a lot of times when it's you're getting two yards here, 3 yards here, 1 yard here, those 7 yard runs are going to come. Then maybe a five. You know what I'm saying? You got to stick with it. But no matter who or whatever they move on or whatever they do with Free, you're still going to have a young running back playing.
It's a really tough decision.
You know what I'm saying? That's why I mean, dude, don't you get rid of him and draft somebody. You do know that it's going to be a young player in there, right?
Right.
I mean,
that's a gamble.
It's a gamble. I mean, and I do think that running back is probably the easiest thing to adjust to in the National Football League as far as for a young guy, as far as you handing him the ball and letting him run. But then you got to look at blitzes. I mean, there's a lot that goes into it that people don't – oh, you just think you're running back, just hand him all he runs. It's a whole lot that goes into that.
Yeah. I mean, either way they go, it's difficult. And that's true at a lot of positions. And I know at 12:20 we're going to rank the list of offseason needs, where they need to go first, what may be something that they could get away with not addressing. That running back position is near the top because it comes down to either A – you trust Devontae Freeman to get slightly healthier at a year older, or you move on from him and you trust a rookie running back to be your bell cow. That's tough, man. Both ways are really, really tough, which is exactly why the Falcons find themselves in such a difficult offseason.
The difficult thing is repetitions. The one thing that you'll always have in a game is, and a lot of times people look at matchups and they say, well, such and such scored, you know, X amount of points and who was guarding him. And that's really not the case in the NBA. It's a five-man defense. You know, we doubled Joel Embiid a ton the other night. And so the rotations out of it are what's most important, because you're sending two to one guy and then you're going to have to rotate around the perimeter. And the repetition of doing that consistently will allow you to do it properly.
Yeah, so that's Lloyd Pierce this morning when he was asked about the Hawks' defense.
Here's the point.
And I guess defensive struggles. He does.
Yeah, I mean, because you saw, you know what I saw? I saw a lot when I was sitting there, we were watching the Laker game, and you saw it against the Pelicans with Morris just came in, and you saw the difference. You know, they were doubling, then, you know, got cuts, and that's your guy you're supposed to get. So, yeah, it is a five-man defense, but I'm just talking about letting people go right past you. You know, the rotation thing, that's going to happen from time to time. I'm talking about when you're standing there in front of a guy, and he just beats you. Now, this NBA, and I think NBA players are the best athletes on the planet. But with that being said, damn, put a forearm on him. I'd rather you foul him than let him drive right past you. You know what I'm saying? With the effort of trying to move your feet to try and stay in front of you. I know it's easier said than done. I get that. But some of the times you're just looking like, really?
Yeah. It's all of that, though. Like, everything that you can think of that is frustrating about bad defense, the Hawks will do in like a 4 or 5 possession streak. Like, you're right. Last night you saw guys on the perimeter just going by Kevin Huerter. or just going by Trae Young. And we see that a lot. It's maybe effort, size, whatever. We see it all the time. What the Magic did a lot last night was, okay, I'm guarded on the wing. I'm going to swing it to the top of the key. All right, there's a guy on me. I'm going to swing it. And if they made two or three passes, then someone was open. And that's team defense.
Mm-hmm.
That's the ability to rotate. That's the ability to communicate. It's reps, like Lloyd Pierce says. Whatever it is, like you can, okay, describe to me. We gave the Falcons a lot of guff last year during the year for doing a good job of explaining to us what the problem was,
right?
But not being able to fix it. Cool, like great. Thank you for explaining to me that it's rotations and it's team defense. Well, you're bad at team defense too.
Yeah.
You guys are bad at individual defense and you're bad at team defense.
It's a bad overall.
Great. Thank you for saying that. What are you going to do to fix it?
Exactly. I mean, because we're tired of hearing the same thing over and over again.
Yeah.
That's the thing about it. So do you wait? Okay, we'll wait till the offseason. We'll wait till we get all these guys together and then we'll go through it then. Because right now, I don't see any way that they can fix it right now.
Nope. Exactly right.
You know what I'm saying? I just don't see it. They're not going to become better overnight. The HBCU, you know, they're having their thing with Lil Duval and everybody tomorrow. I think it's tomorrow or is it Saturday?
Saturday is HBCU
yes,
night.
Yes, yes. Well, my man right here, Andy
tomorrow
Bunker.
Night will be the Torian Prince-led Brooklyn okay. Nets.
Well, tomorrow or Saturday, they won't be a better defensive team. All right? It won't be that way. I'm sorry, but it is what it is. Until you get all the guys in the offseason and y'all work on it. He's right. The repetition of it. But, I mean, how many games y'all have played? How many reps you need?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're getting to a point where these guys have been playing with each other, right?
I just wonder, because I do think that it's fair to say that you got a bunch of 21-year-olds who aren't seasoned in the NBA and aren't as physically developed to play defense. But at some point, someone is going to have to pay for it, and that's what I'm wondering.
And that's eventually somebody's going to pay for it.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? That's just, you know, the thing with the rebuild is not everybody's always with you when the rebuild is done.
Yeah.
You know, not everybody gets to be Brett Brown. You know what I'm saying?
No, they don't.
Yeah.
And does Brett Brown continue to get to be Brett Brown?
Dude, I mean, he got to go.
People are calling for his head.
He got to go.
It certainly was a two-legged performance that we can take positives from. We know the game in Nashville now is going to present different challenges. We know it's going to be an emotional game for them. Their inaugural game, a lot of intensity, and we need to make sure that we go in there with the right mind frame.
The massacre in Broadway, baby.
That's what we're hoping for on Saturday.
Hoping,
yeah. Well, that's what we're predicting. That's what you're saying is going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
You said they were going to put foots in them at the Fraction.
Broadway bloodbath.
It
don't matter what it is. What hashtag it is. Five Stripes going over to Nashville and put some foots in folks. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then we're going to have some parties afterwards.
That was Brad Guzan talking about maybe taking the momentum of what they did against Matagua the other night into the opener up there in Nashville. It is going to be a fun atmosphere.
Oh,
no
dude.
Doubt. Nashville's a great city,
town.
And people
great
are
town.
Very excited about this soccer team.
Yeah,
so
it's
going to be a cool atmosphere.
No, they're very excited to see the champ, this team from Atlanta roll up there. That's what they're excited about.
You don't think they're excited to see their own team?
No, they're excited to see us. Hey, join the Atlanta Hawks as they take on the Brooklyn Nets tomorrow at State Farm Arena. Get your tickets today at hawks.com/tickets. No, they come to see us.
So the Faction is going to be in studio with us at 11:20, the support group.
Correct.
Club America almost lost last night.
I saw that.
Communications, by the way. They won on penalties, so that's who Atlanta United play in the next round of the CONCACAF. We'll come back. We'll get to big deal, small deal, no deal. I understand Brian Gebhardt's going to talk more about Evan Fournier. And
hey, man, stand by Yoach. Don't let Twitter scare you, man.
I'm not
scared. Don't let Twitter make you retract nothing.
We're also going to hear what Trey's talking
about. You
don't
like Fournier.
I'm definitely going to be talking about this one for a long, long time.
Oh, because he got to play against Evan Fournier. The honor of playing against Evan Fournier is what he's going to be talking about. We'll be back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Well, it's all right here in
Tequila. What's going on? It's Carl Dukes from Dukes and Bell. You want to talk college football? The countdown is on to the college football playoff, and we do it every day at 4 o'clock as we talk dogs and more right here on Dukes and Bell.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. The midday show with Andy and Randy. What? What's up, Randy?
No, I was just weird. You know, we have the TVs here in the Kia Studios,
uh-huh.
And it was on. It has Arby's has two for six fish sandwiches, and I always said to myself, I've never had a fast food fish sandwich, and I'm thinking, would I ever eat a fast food fish sandwich? Now they have fast food fish because I love me some Captain D's and all that. Long Johnson, love it, but just a fish sandwich, I ain't never had that before.
I haven't either. What
are you saying? Do it.
I've never ordered a fillet of fish. That was my dad's go-to. We'd go to McDonald's. Uh-huh. I'd get a Happy Meal as a kid. He'd get a Big Mac, a fillet of fish, and a large fries.
Okay.
Fillet of fish. I don't know. Wendy says my dad's smart. Like, the Filet-O-Fish at McDonald's is a good sandwich. Really? Okay.
All right.
The best one is the one at Wendy's. Wendy's had a, they like the last 2 years, they actually got like some real fish that's like, doesn't look like the little thin one that's the Filet-O-Fish from McDonald's. Right. So, I don't know. It seems a little bit more fresh in that sense, but it's pretty good.
Okay. I mean, I've never had it before. That's what I'm saying.
Arby's, well, I mean, look, I'll eat anything at Arby's, honestly.
It's hard to mess up Arby's. Something at Arby's.
They had a venison sandwich a couple years ago.
Pretty good, huh?
Which is deer, right? That's what that is?
You really think that was deer at Arby's?
I hope it was.
There wasn't no deer at Arby's.
What do you think it was then?
I don't know, but it wasn't no deer.
They had that? That was a thing?
For a very limited time, they had venison sandwiches.
That wasn't no deer.
What did I eat then?
I don't know, but it wasn't no deer.
Large cat?
I ain't gonna say
Wendy
ain't no,
says I ate deer.
I ain't gonna say ain't no cat.
So you think Arby's is lying? Why would they
I like Arby's.
I like Arby's too.
Well, what are you accusing them of? I just don't see Venice and Arby's just don't go together.
Well, they did on a limited time basis.
Okay.
And that sandwich was delightful.
Okay.
With some curly fries and some Arby's sauce. I loved it very much.
Wendy, I know that you're friends at Arby's, all right? I like Arby's. Venice and Arby's just don't go together.
So Wendy and Arby's are friends? That makes sense. Actually, never mind. My bad. That makes perfect sense. Brian jumped the gun, but here's his intro.
Oh, look at him. He is so hurt right now. He's so hurt because his intro didn't come in.
Yeah, you can see the pain in my eyes.
The pain is like, what is going on?
I need some tissues.
And just so everyone knows,
what is going on?
The computer absolutely screwed Wendy on that one. 100% guaranteed. That was not Wendy's fault.
That computer is the worst on earth. I'm going to pick it up and slam it one day. I know I talked through my own intro right now. That's fine. That computer's going down.
That computer is awful. Every time I look through that window, I see whether it's you, whether it's Oren, whether it's Wendy, just anger.
Yeah.
Anyway, hi, Brian.
Hi, guys.
What up, B?
Big deal, small deal, no deal. I know Randy's real fired up about this. Trey Young's block on Mo Bamba, and then this is what Trey said after the game.
That's my dog. Mo's my guy, so I'm going to be talking trash with him all the time now. I've been knowing him since I was in high school. We talk all the time, and he's in town. We hang out. I'm in Orlando. I see him, so I'm definitely going to be talking about this one for a long, long time. He was kind of mad, salty.
I think it's a small deal. I just want to know why the hell he hanging out in Orlando.
Disney, he's a kid.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he's like, when I go down to Orlando, what the hell you go to Orlando for? Trey got some babies? I mean, but...
Trey likes to go... I bet Trey likes riding roller coasters still.
He does look like a roller coaster guy with the hands up.
And his hair's flopping in the wind.
He's like a hands-up roller coaster guy.
He does.
But, I mean, it was good. It was a nice play by him, man. It was a nice effort by Trey.
Yeah.
No, I don't think it's a big deal, but it's a deal. Because anytime you can talk trash to your friends after you done beat them in something, it's great.
Jeff Teague got him, too. Jeff Teague got Mo Bamba on a three-point attempt, which was fun. I don't know. I'd say it's a small deal, but it was definitely a fun deal. And Trey gave an effort on defense, which was fun, too. Mo Bamba got revenge, also. I think he had four blocks in the game, so he had a handful of blocks himself.
The block he had on John Collins with his left hand just hanging in the air.
Block.
That's when you know it's like that 8-foot wingspan came into play right then. That was an incredible play.
I still think Mo Bamba is going to be a decent NBA player. Like, he's a 21-year-old kid. He's going to take a little bit more time. But he's a guy who he can help a team. Like, he can stand near the hoop and just make it hard for you to make baskets.
Yeah,
he's not as good as an NBA player as Evan Fournier. So the next thing is big deal, small deal, no deal. Andy's just open dislike for European basketball players.
I think it's a no deal. All right, y'all gonna back up off my guy over here, okay?
No, I don't like European basketball players.
Oh, I know.
There we go. It's a deal.
That is actually a deal.
That ain't no deal. We already knew this.
I don't know what my problem is. Because, I love Norwegian people.
Bro, you ain't got no problem, homie.
I got a problem.
No.
There, it is something
more than
just...
If you don't like somebody, you just don't like somebody.
Yeah, but it's
embrace the not liking people.
Yeah, but there's a theme to it.
Yeah, it's great.
There's a prejudice that I have, and I don't know why. And I'd like to examine what it stems from, because...
I know what it is.
It might be a self-hate, because I'm European.
Exactly.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. You hate yourself.
Okay.
Because you're Austrian. No. What
no,
are you
I'm
again?
Norwegian.
Norwegian, yeah.
No,
hold on. Did Mama Barb... Did we confirm this?
We 23andMe. Well, Scandinavian. It's Norwegian and Swedish.
Right. Did we
on the mom's side. Okay. And then my dad's a lot of Irish and German. So there's a lot in there. So all the whitest ingredients.
Okay.
Mix them in a pot. Voila.
So that's the issue, is there's no Norwegian or Swedish great basketball player. And until there's that guy.
Lou Amundsen was pretty good. Not that good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't
very
good.
Sure. So until you get that guy, maybe that's it.
Maybe that is what it is.
You don't have your European basketball player.
Here's my thing with guys like Evan Fournier.
What?
Is, like, basketball guy. Everybody knows basketball guy. Like, whether it's basketball, fantasy guy, or whatever.
Brian's that.
He is.
Yes.
And
I'm also watch the games guy, but
well,
go ahead.
I'm watch the games guy, too. I love the NBA. But, like, basketball guy likes to overhype mid-level NBA player.
No doubt.
Because they watch him play. Because, yes, Evan Fournier is a good basketball player compared to basketball players. But in the NBA, he's fine. He's okay. He's a slightly above average NBA basketball player.
That's all I wanted you to admit.
Okay.
I just wanted you to admit that he was better than average. That's all.
He's not bad. And I certainly...
See, now we're going backwards again, Andy.
I certainly treat him like he's... No. The way that I treat him is is not fair.
Stand by. Stand by your ability to not like people, dude. I promise you it's good for you.
But I just want to know...
It's good for the soul, man.
But I also think it's important... And good for the soul to search as to what your problem is with not liking.
No, it's not. You don't need a reason not to like somebody other than I don't like you.
Well, you know, Evan Fournier, I think, fixed one of the main things I didn't like about him, which was his raggedy hair. His hair was the worst in the NBA for a while because it was just...
It wasn't nothing worse than Elfrid Payton hair.
When they were on the same team for
a while.
So
he had the raggedy head guards.
But he trimmed it down now, so it's not as bad. So yeah. I do respect him for acknowledging his hair.
You are right about basketball guy. I am that guy in that sense. I'll defend a mediocre player
dude,
no
and
matter
that's all you
what.
Were doing
you,
in
you,
there.
You love it.
And we're like, dang, Brian, he ain't saying about his mama.
We went back and forth about Danilo Gallinari one day. It was like the same thing.
I mean, someone's got to fight for the slightly above average NBA player. I'm here to do that.
He tries that with me on everything. I'm like, Brian, you're never going to change my mind.
I know. Yeah. You can change my mind.
Yeah.
Because I'm a flexible, reasonable individual.
And I'm not.
Those are such true statements. All right, very quickly, less than a minute here. Anthony, big deal, small deal, no deal. Anthony Edwards scoring 36 points and another loss for the Dogs.
This is a big deal because it's frustrating, you know, for him to play the way he played last night and nobody to help him out. I think that's the most frustrating thing. If I'm him, I'm out.
Well, they should have won that game.
They should have won the game.
They
should have won the game before the overtime.
Yeah, they should have won before overtime. Yeah. And Anthony Edwards made two free throws with like 7 seconds left to send it to overtime, so good for him there. But then he missed a couple big free throws in overtime that kind of allowed the game to get to where it went. They're just bad. Like, that's just all there is to it. I don't know that Tom Crean's doing a great job either. So it's a bad situation. They're not going to make the tournament. And Anthony Edwards is going to go to the NBA, and then what? Like, you don't have one of the best players in college basketball, and you were this bad?
Yeah.
What's it look like next year? I don't know.
It's going to be ragged. AV103 is back on Saturday, March 28th at the State Farm Arena, featuring a huge night of hip-hop starring Lil Baby, DaBaby, and Wale and more. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster, all Ticketmaster outlets. And for more information, go to the events page on 929thegame.com.
All right, we'll come back. We'll get to an NFL no huddle. The Combine continues.
All right.
Speed dating at the Combine. That's how Randy described it off the air.
We'll explain exactly what he meant on the air. I'd have been to Salem's. They're giving me a suggestion of where to get a fish sandwich.
Jack my T's all up.
Is it great? Is it real fish or is it that fish sandwich fast food? Oh, my bad. Go ahead.
We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.